In the name of Jesus, amen. I will never forget a hospital visit I made in which a young man sat up immediately when I walked in and said in all seriousness, "Pastor, I just want you to know that I've not had much opportunity to sin this week since you gave me communion here last week." Well, by the time we finished talking that afternoon, I do believe that he saw his last week in a whole different light. Yet his understanding of sin as a little problem, one where the week's sins could be counted on one hand, is frighteningly typical. Such a person does not believe there's really much of a problem at all. And if they really wanted to, they could handle it. But in reality, there is a serious problem. And we talked about it in yesterday's divine service, not just from a different perspective, but from an opposite perspective of this dear young man who now understands. Because this week in the church's life is about saints who, upon self-examination, are sorely distressed. They lament sins often that seem and probably are too numerous to count. So yesterday's collect had us confessing an utter lack of strength while living in a war zone that attacks our body and our soul. We also confessed that on our own, we are defenseless. We confess that on our own, we will fail. But then yesterday, in the same collect, we petitioned God for help. We essentially cried out, "Jesu Juva, Jesus, help!" Thanks be to God for yesterday's divine service where the saints were fed again and received help. He was there to give strength, defense, power needed in his sacred word and blessed sacrament. Dr. Luther helps us understand the reality and the extent of our wretched state as he comments on today's text. And he says, the problem is not just about thought, word, and deed. But as Paul says in Romans 7:20, it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. Luther calls this fomes, or which means tinder or spark, and therefore a natural attraction toward evil. And this is our problem, and it's a serious one. We are in need of continual care and keeping that is beyond us. For we do not know what attractions, inclinations, temptations toward evil, as well as the blatant frontal assaults, may face us next. So in Lent too, we plead that God will remember us in his mercy and his steadfast love. For the saints are sinners. And in this season of preparation, the saints are very aware of this. I think it is profoundly beautiful to see how Luther connects David's psalm verses embedded in today's text with our baptism. Luther says, "I know full well that I cannot do a single thing that is pure. But I am baptized. And through my baptism, God, who cannot lie, has bound himself in a covenant with me. He will not count my sin against me. He will slay it and blot it out." The saints admitted yesterday that they are always aware of their sin and seek righteousness from God in his mercy. For this very reason, the saints are always regarded as righteous by God, To say it another way, in our own sight, and in truth, we are unrighteous. But before God, we are righteous because he reckons us so because of our confession of sin. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. One of the finest hymns for the saints to sing that combines our total need with God's total solution is today's office hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. In it, we turn to our baptism in words that confess our baptism as day-to-day strength for our life. In it, we're telling Satan, with his enticements, temptations, and accusations, where they can go. And in it, we virtually laugh at death as we sing and confess what it means to be a child of God. The strong name of the Holy Trinity is upon our forehead, and we are singing as if that means something. God loves this singing. Satan hates this singing. And it is one of the healthiest things for us to do while on earth. In the Epiphany Cantorai tour music, there were two lines that we loved every night when we came to them. In one, God was saying, "You are mine, you are mine," again and again. And the other one was, "You are freed, you are freed," again and again. Yes, we are his and we are freed. But the saint-sinner reality and tension is ever before us, and that awareness of our sin is a good thing that causes us to cling with all that we have to him. And the children of God need to know that clinging is good. Truth be told, that's where he wants us to be. Truth be told, that's the healthiest place for us to be. Singing about our baptism, clinging, crying for mercy to the one who will hear us and grant it. That is a good posture for Lent too. In the strong name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.